A wondrous gift is given, and we've been singing of this great one all the way through this evening, and I'd like for a few moments now to consider him with you, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading an article earlier this week that spoke about the amazing numbers of Christmas. Apparently there are going to be 8 million Christmas trees bought, 205 million pieces of Christmas cake eaten. Maybe you've partaken of a few of those already. 205 million Christmas movies watched, 462 million Christmas songs listened to, £19 billion spent on Christmas presents, 411 million Brussels sprouts eaten, and 900 million Christmas cards sent. Huge numbers, all in lots of different ways. But I want to speak to you about the Christmas number that counts, and that is the number one. One God, one child, one Saviour, one gift, one King, one way to salvation. And that is so vital for you to understand this night. I was reading, and hopefully you'll listen to these words from the first letter of John, 1 John 1, verses 1 to 4. And this is what he writes to open that letter. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested," speaking of Jesus, "and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." And you might think, well, as I read those words, well, that's not a very Christmassy passage. We want to hear about the angels. We've been singing about them and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men. You know, we've had them all laid out before us in these lovely carols. But the verses that I've just read from 1 John, even though they're not retelling the account of the birth of Jesus, they provide an amazing summary of what the Nativity is really all about. This wondrous gift of salvation, eternal life, of hope, of peace with God, all bound up in the one Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the true message of Christmas is that God has provided deliverance, has provided salvation in Jesus. And it is a wonderful gift of grace. When John wrote his gospel, which you can read in your Bibles, he wrote it in order that people would believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Saviour. And he starts that account in his gospel in John 1:1. He calls Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in his letter he says, Jesus is called the Word of Life. He says he is called Eternal Life. You see, Christianity is about living a vital, personal, real relationship with God through Jesus Christ. John is not saying to us that Jesus has eternal life or even that he gives eternal life. No, he's saying that Jesus Christ is eternal life, is salvation itself. And whatever you read about the coming of Jesus into this world in the Bible, that is what you see declared. That all our hope in this life and the next is centered upon this person and having a right relationship with him. You know, when you consider all the other religions in the world, their apparent founders all claim to point you to the way that you can try and reach some deliverance for yourself. But Jesus is God come down in the flesh. He is life, and we are given that life through being united to him by faith, by believing in him, in who he is, in what he has done. And that's good news. Because tonight, I'm not saying to you, and the gospel doesn't say to you, oh, well, you've got to try and earn this and achieve this and work hard for this and try and attain this. It says, believe in Jesus. All that he is, all that he has done. And if you do, you will have life. You will have a right relationship with God. You know, when people talk about Jesus, if they acknowledge him at all, they might think that he was a good man or a significant historical figure. But often you find that people say, oh, well, it doesn't matter what you believe about Jesus. You know, it's all about whether you live a good life. You know, as long as you live a good life. But you know, that in itself, dear friends, is a statement of belief. That you will be good enough, come what may, by what you do. That by your works, as it were, that you will be acceptable to God. And it assumes that you are not so bad that you need a Saviour, and that you have the ability to live in a way that will be good enough for God. And so in that very statement, it's about living a good life. You're setting down in that attitude a whole section of beliefs about the nature of God, about what humankind is like, about sin. And the message of Christmas, the message of God's word, says that however complex your system might be, it's not the right one. It's wrong. You may believe that you can earn your right to heaven with God. You may even have come tonight and you reject religion, as it were, altogether. And you believe that you have within yourself what it takes to live a life that a human being should live. And either position will never bring you true peace. Because you'll either never feel like you are quite good enough, or you'll be so full of pride because you think you are good enough and a little bit better than those around you. And most likely you'll constantly swing back and forth between those two. And both of these, or many more positions of life, they're not what the scriptures say. And they can never deal with what is our deepest problem, our deepest need. Because there is only one way in which we can be right with God, one true way, and that is believing in the truth of Christmas. And you can be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's such a vital thing for you to see tonight. The events of that first Christmas, the coming of Jesus Christ, they all actually did happen. You know, John says in those verses that he heard Jesus, that he saw Jesus, that he bears witness to Jesus, that he declares him because he is true. That is key. Because if we're saved through our own efforts, through what we do, you know, it doesn't really matter if these things happened or not. Because the stories of Jesus only have the purpose of inspiring us to live a better life. Or to try and follow some moral code or the example that he left. And that's how many see it. Oh, well, Christianity, it's a moral encouragement, moral stories to help you live better. But if we are saved by grace, if we are saved and made right with God, not by what we do, but by what Jesus has done, then it is crucial that the glorious events of the Gospels, the incarnation, the death of Jesus on the cross, the resurrection from the dead, that they actually took place, that they actually happened. And that is what John, in those verses in his letter, is so urgent in emphasizing. He said, we saw him, we heard him, we touched him. And it is with such seriousness, it's almost as if he is bearing testimony before God. It's legal language. He's saying, look, this isn't just a set of stories. Many others and I, we saw these things. We testified to it. We saw him. He really lived. He really died on the cross, and he really rose again. You see, if this Christmas account is just a set of fairy tales, as it were, you know, you're on your own in this life. And the next, whatever that may be. You know, but if it is true, and John says that it is true, it says that not only is there this life to contend with and all that is there, but there is an eternity, there is a judgment, that there is a God. But it says that you can be saved by grace, one way. Which means there is one hope, dear friends. You see, the Christmas story clearly shows that the hope of the universe is a person. Hope was what the angels sang about. Hope lay there in the manger. Hope caused Mary to wonder in her heart. It was hope that the shepherds came to worship. Hope was presented with gifts from the Magi who traveled so far. The Christmas account is a hope account because it tells us of the coming to the earth of the one who is hope, that being Jesus. And for a people who are born in sin, for a world damaged by sin, there simply couldn't be any other source of hope. You know, good education won't solve the problem. Generous government has no power to solve this problem. More and better laws can't get to the heart of the problem. People cannot help one another, and they cannot help themselves. You see, the inescapable condition of sin infects all of us, every single human being, and it has scarred every aspect of the universe, which cried out for one thing and for one thing alone, that God would intervene. And the only solution was a Savior. And the only suitable Savior with wisdom and power and righteousness to accomplish the task would be God Himself. As one says, the one denied will come to rescue his deniers. The one rejected would come to save his rejecters. The one who had rebelled against countless times would come to redeem those rebels. And Jesus wouldn't come to set up an earthly kingdom and enforce his rule on the unwilling. He wouldn't come to judge and condemn. He wouldn't come demanding the service that actually he was rightfully due. No, he came to serve. And he came to suffer. And he came to die. So that his kingdom would reign in the hearts of all those who would trust in him. And he came to seek and to save. He came to suffer and forgive. He came to rescue and restore. And he came to call and draw and love those who without his grace will continue to love themselves and be lost. He came, and because he came, there is hope for sinners like you and me that we can be saved. And it really is true. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. You know, before Jesus went to the cross to do what he came to do, he explained to his followers why he is the only hope for sinners like you and me. He made his own identity and his mission so clear when he said this: I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, he explained there in that statement why he is the hope of Christmas and our one and only hope as sinners. That he is the one way to God. You know, the Bible says that sin has created a terrible separation between God and the people that he created. God created people to dwell in a loving, fulfilling, moment-by-moment fellowship with him. People weren't designed to live without God. They were not made to just try and find their way through life and make sense of it all and live it out on their own. People were meant to live according to God's will and for his glory, the one who knows best for us. And the great question of human history is, how will that great gulf between people and God ever be bridged? Jesus came as the only answer to that problem. He came as the solution to that issue. He was the one who could meet God's moral requirement in every way by keeping the law of God without ever failing. He would be the final lamb of sacrifice. He would pay the ultimate penalty of sin for our sin. And in his perfect life and his death on the cross, he became the only way to restore a right relationship with God. He would make the way through which you and I can know fellowship with God, as it was meant to be. You see, he is the one way. And he is the truth from God. It's no exaggeration to say that Jesus came to earth as God's ultimate and final declaration. He didn't just communicate some truth about God. He was and is the truth. You know, in a way that had never been done before, Jesus revealed the Father to us. He made the Father's character clear, so clear that he would say that he who has seen me has seen the Father. But there's even more than that, because he revealed in entirety God's redeeming plan to us. And as he went to the cross and as he gave his life, Jesus demonstrated and accomplished the means through which God had planned and would deal with our sin if we trust in the Savior. He sent the Savior to die in our place. You see, the coming of Jesus preaches the truth about God, but it also preaches the truth about our condition. You see, without Christ, we are without hope. We face disaster in eternity and without any ability to rescue ourselves. And that is why God sent Jesus as the ultimate physical reminder of the depth of our need. He is the truth of God, and he is the life. You know, Jesus doesn't just preach life or provide life. He is life. And Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 2, it talks about the dire condition we're in without Jesus. Apart from Jesus, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And dead people need life breathed into them, or they'll never rise and live. And Jesus came to be that life giver. He came to conquer the ultimate result of sin, that is death. And his resurrection was the first of a countless multitude of resurrections to come, as by grace, his spirit would breathe new life into all who will ever put their trust in him. He came as life to defeat the power of death and give eternal life to those who will receive him, to his redeemed children. And so in the midst of all of the busyness of this time, all those numbers, all those millions of different things that are happening, know that one vital thing. Know that one vital person, the Lord Jesus. Because to know Jesus is to know hope in the here, the now, and the great forever that faces every one of us. Hope is bound up in him, who is for you this night the Saviour, who is the way, the truth, and the life. See, the Christmas story is not just the coming of a baby and that's it. The Christmas story is God sending his Son to be the Saviour. God sending his Son to go to the cross. God sending his Son to rise again in great triumph, so that all who believe in him can be saved for time and for eternity. And he offers you this night what you have no power to provide for yourself. And that's a right relationship with God. To know what is true, to know what it is to be forgiven, to have your sin dealt with, and to know true life, abundant life in Christ. And that is real hope. One vital person, Jesus Christ, and your response to him will define your eternity. If you're in him, you have peace with God and hope forever, glory awaiting. To reject him is to embrace darkness and despair and judgment. You see that lovely hymn, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, and here it is, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. My prayer for you this night is that you would come to Jesus Christ, and that you would find salvation in this precious one to whom there is no comparison, the great Saviour, who is Christ the Lord, who saves to the uttermost all that call upon his name. He is a wondrous gift to us. May it be that we receive it in our hearts by faith. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together our final carol tonight. And just to remind you, we'd love for you to stay afterwards and share in some refreshments with us. And they will be served through in the back room behind us. But we'll stand to sing, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him born, the King of angels. Let's stand to sing together.